KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and windy. It's 38 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, a high of 54. Winds northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN States and Area News. In state news, officials of the Des Moines Police Department said this morning officers were investigating a report of a mountain lion sighting within the city. Video of the area of 31st and I-235 is being examined to confirm the presence of the animal. And there is a still frame image that was posted moments ago that would seem to confirm that. Additional information will be shared by authorities as it is confirmed. Police say that residents in the area should exercise an abundance of caution with children and pets. In area news, the Creston Police Department reports 29-year-old Terry Ray Hankins Lund, Jr. of Creston, was arrested Wednesday morning at his home on three Union County warrants. The warrants were for charges of criminal mischief in the second degree and burglary in the second, criminal mischief in the third, and domestic abuse assault and obstruction of emergency communications. Lund, Jr.'s bond was set at $10,300 with no bond on the assault and third-degree criminal mischief charges. He remains in the Union County Jail. 25-year-old Zachariah Ben of Creston was arrested late Wednesday evening at his home on a Union County warrant for failure to appear for a jail sentence pertaining to an original charge of driving while barred. Ben was being held in the Union County Jail until the balance of his sentence is complete. 30-year-old Kayla Hoffman of Creston was arrested at her home Wednesday morning on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of theft in the fifth degree. She was being held for Union County in the Adams County Jail on a $300 bond. At the same residence and time, 30-year-old Caleb Fredrickson of Creston was arrested on Union County warrants for failure to appear on a theft in the third degree charge and for violation of probation. He was also charged with driving while suspended. Fredrickson was being held in the Union County Jail on a total of $12,300 bond. Creston police said also a man residing in the 400 block of North Poplar Street reported Wednesday that sometime over the past 2 or 3 months, someone stole a gun from the glove box of his vehicle. The Smith & Wesson 38 caliber handgun was valued at $450. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that there were 3 prisoner transfers to the Pott County Jail and 1 inmate served with a warrant. On Tuesday, 50-year-old Henry Medford of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, was transported to the Pottawatomie County Jail from a jail in Minnesota. He was wanted on a warrant for theft in the first degree and held on $10,000 bond. 21-year-old David Robertson of Omaha was brought to the Pott County Jail from the Douglas County, Nebraska jail. Robertson was wanted on a warrant for domestic abuse assault first offense. His bond was set at $2,000. And 23-year-old Kyle Padilla of Bellevue, Nebraska, was transported from the Douglas County, Nebraska jail to Pott County for a warrant on violation of probation. A Pott County jail inmate, 18-year-old Thom Gock of Bellevue, Nebraska, was served with a warrant Tuesday out of Sarpy County, Nebraska, for being a fugitive from justice. He remains held in the Pottawatomie County Jail on $30,000 bond for 2 counts of first-degree robbery and second-degree theft, along with the detainer out of Nebraska. The Nottoway Valley and Cam School District Boards of Education Tuesday night agreed to hire Grundmeyer Leader Search to support the search for a new shared superintendent. School officials say the search will begin immediately and conclude with the hire of a new successful leader. To that end, the boards are requesting feedback from the public with regard to what desired qualifications are most important for the position to ensure the person selected is a good fit for the school districts and their respective communities. Patrons of both districts are invited to take an online stakeholder survey accessed by a computer or mobile device. You can find that link under this same story on our news page. The survey is completely anonymous unless you choose to provide your name voluntarily. The stakeholder survey is available now to May the 19th. The search team will produce a general report based on the information gathered in the survey. The report will be shared with the board to advise them on what priorities the district and community stakeholders are looking for in a new leader. Governor Kim Reynolds on Wednesday announced the Office of Chief Information Officer, OCIO, has recently concluded the review of 17 broadband grant applications and awarded $1.3 million in grant funds to 7 projects across the state. Locally, grants were approved for the proposed CR1 Carroll Rural Fiber Optic Project in the amount of $98,448 and the City of Adair's Fiber Project in the amount of $138,900. The 7 projects across the state in total represent over $13 million in new investment in broadband infrastructure covering about 760 square miles in 12 counties. The governor said her budget called for $20 million in broadband infrastructure over the next 2 years to accelerate expansion and leverage an additional $120 million in private investment for high-speed internet. The announcement, she said, is a step in the right direction for greater broadband connectivity, but there's much to do. And that's why she said she'll continue to work with lawmakers next year to secure more funding to empower rural communities for generations to come. Jeff Franklin, the state's chief information officer, said over 7,200 homes, schools, businesses, and farms that previously did not have access to high-speed internet service will soon have broadband access as a result of the awarded projects. The 17 applications requested a combined total of $4,818,892 in state broadband grant funding. The Trevor Frederickson Memorial Fund recently donated books to Schuler Elementary and mobile book organizers to Washington Elementary. Fund spokesperson Melanie Petty said, "We've enjoyed being able to support the school libraries over the years in memory of Trevor. He loved to read, and we love promoting reading to the youth of Atlantic. All funds that are raised at the annual T. Fred Golf Tournament are given back to the community he loved." Petty said that we're in the midst of preparing for the 11th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament to be held Saturday, August 10th at Nishna Hills Golf Course in Atlantic. If you're interested in donating an item to the silent auction, entering a golf team, or sponsoring a hole, contact Melanie Petty at 712-249-3696. She says, "We appreciate the support over the years and look forward to many more." The Iowa Department of Transportation opened travel on flood-damaged Interstate 29 between U.S. Highway 34 and the Missouri border on Wednesday morning. DOT transportation planner Scott Sewer from Atlantic says the opening comes after a lot of effort.
The contractor's been in there working for the last several weeks and have made significant progress, and it won't be completely opened up to two lanes in each direction. Motorists will experience some head-to-head situations and also one lane in each direction through part of it.
He says the drivers will have to use caution.
This is still like a construction zone. There's going to be construction activities occurring on the outside lanes, and then also we've got construction work occurring at the 8.5 mile marker where they're working on repairing a bridge that was damaged due to the flooding. And so we've got a head-to-head traffic format at that location. And then also we want to remind motorists and freight movers that we do have a lane restriction of 12 feet. And so any oversized loads are not allowed on I-29.
Sewer says it isn't normal traffic flow, but it does get traffic moving to help those who have had to detour.
The main thing is we're able to get some type of mobility restored from U.S. 34 south to the Missouri line.
Several crews are involved in the emergency repairs in southwest Iowa, and Sewer says there is one big challenge each faces.
The unknowns, the amount of voids that were under the pavement, the ability to coordinate everything and get contractors in there in a timely fashion. And obviously, weather has been a factor in trying to get this open.
He says they've been working hard to get Iowa Highway 2 at I-29 open, but the continued rain and water over parts of the roadway has set that back.
We're going to continue to monitor the area, and once we're able to open up Iowa 2, we'll do so. Iowa 2 will be open at the interchange, and you'll be able to get fuel or any services you need at that location. You won't be able to go west, but you can go east off on Iowa 2.
Sewer says the I-29 opening comes earlier than planned, and they're continuing to try to get other roadways open before the end of this month.
Hopefully, between now and Memorial Day weekend, we'll have everything opened up to some type of mobility.
And you can check on the progress on the flooded roadways at the DOT's website. A stretch of interstate highway in northwestern Missouri is open again for the first time since floodwaters shut it down in March. Interstate 29 reopened Wednesday to the Iowa state line. Historic flooding in March forced the closure of the busy north-south roadway. I-29, as we mentioned, is open in Iowa, but with some restrictions. The Missouri DOT says more than 12,000 vehicles use the I-29 corridor in northwestern Missouri on a daily basis. Many other roads and highways in northwestern Missouri and southwest Iowa remain closed due to flood damage. The latest round of flooding has forced many other roads to close across several Midwestern states. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.